Hey y'all, I'm Dan, and I host a podcast called Kinfolk, Stories of Community and Connection. I talk with folks from all over Appalachia, artists, small business owners, local legends, you name it. We share real stories about what brings us together, what keeps us going, and all the magic tucked away in these hills. If you're into small town charm, big hearts, and good conversation, come hang out with me on Kinfolk. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts.
Mountain State Mysteries contains mature themes and discussions that may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. All individuals mentioned in this episode are considered innocent until proven guilty in a court of law.
Hey, y'all. I'm your host, Mark Covey, and this is Mountain State Mysteries. Courtney is off this week, but I still wanted to bring you an episode. It's about a case that we've covered already. It's kind of in the early days when we were just baby podcasters. The case of the Sodder children is no stranger to any West Virginian. However, we did learn that there's a lot of misreported information out there. I was lucky enough to sit down with Miranda Weeks, who is actually the great-great-granddaughter of George and Jenny Sodder. This is the updated information on the Sodder children. When I sat down with Miranda, she told me that it wasn't an insurance salesman that visited the family. It was actually Fiorenzo Gentolio. He was George's former employer and the beneficiary on the home insurance. He raised the insurance without George's permission a few weeks before the fire. And get this, his cousin was also a foreman on the coroner's jury. She said, there's a quote that said, quote, I see you have refused to take out insurance and refused to sign the papers to settle Miss Sodder's father's estate, end quote. She told me that whenever Jenny's father passed away, he left everything to his kids. Him and his wife either had 6 or 7 kids, and they all agreed to sign it over to their mother. She was able to find the insurance document, and for some reason, George did not sign it. Her and her family aren't 100% sure why. I did ask Miranda her theory on what happened to the children. She said that she thinks Jenny's family had something to do with it, and that Jenny actually thought that as well. She thinks that one of Jenny's brothers told the kids to stay up that night for whatever reason. They came to get the kids and was like, your house burned down and your family's dead. One thing we talked about was the cut wire. I asked her who she thought cut it, and she said, quote, that I'm not sure because it was 14 feet in the air and 2 feet away from the pole. So you would need a ladder for it. So whoever set the fire probably cut it, but I couldn't tell you who set the fire. I don't think that it was Fiorenzo Gentolio. I think he masterminded the whole thing, but I don't think he would have been the one to actually do it. I think he would have hired someone to do it, so really, it's anyone's guess. Lonnie Johnson did tell them that he did it, and they accepted that, even though they put that he couldn't have done it before because there wasn't a ladder. But you know the investigation was really shoddy anyways. There's actually 3 reports, and they contradict themselves in each report. Like, they'll say one thing in one report, and then the next report, they'll be like, no, this didn't actually happen. Like the first report, they say they admit that there was insurance on the house, that Fiorenzo Gentolio raised it without telling George, and that he was paid out. But then later say, actually no, there was no insurance on the house, end quote.
Hey y'all, I'm Elisa.
And I'm Samantha.
And welcome to Watch for Deer Podcast. We're a couple of best friends from Southern West Virginia, and around here, Watch for Deer is our way of saying we love you and be safe.
This is a conversational podcast that covers many topics from A to Z, including, but not limited to, true crime and the paranormal. Our goal is to bring you an episode a week. So come listen as we tell stories that will make you laugh and maybe even blow your mind. Y'all be safe
and watch for deer.
She told me that Joe didn't start his own business till 1943. And this is what they believe that Fiorenzo Gentolio had a problem with. He wasn't happy that George wanted to stop working for him in order to start his own business. She said his business was a bunch of different things. She knows that he had a lumber business. He also had a trucking business. And they basically built like any stone building in Fayetteville. She asked me if I knew where the Secret Sandwich Society was, and I was like, yeah, of course. She told me they had a park named after them right below it. So in our original episode, we reported that the family ran back into the house to use a phone. This was in fact one of the many misreported things that we found. Miranda told me that once the fire was set, they were outside, they couldn't get back inside at all. So they were not able to get inside to use a phone. That's why he broke the window. The window was on the first story and it led into the landing of the stairs. And that's why he broke the window. Another thing is that Chief Morris told George to leave the site undisturbed. So actually, in the fire marshal's report in 1950, which was the very first report other than the original police report, it's actually reported that the fire marshal never told him that. The fire marshal wasn't there that day. She was able to prove that, but he claims that he was. He states in his report that he and another member of the fire marshal's office were there that day, and they told George to not fill in the basement. Three different articles state that they couldn't get a hold of the fire marshal's office, and George and Jenny swore up and down that he wasn't there that day, so she thinks he more than likely put that in the report to save his own butt. Let's talk about the dig for a second. The bones that were found, the pathologist said that they belonged to a 14 to 15 year old. But when they were taken to the Smithsonian, another pathologist named Dr. Newman also examined the bones and said he had to belong to someone between the age of 16 to 22 due to the vertebrae. She said that the transverse recesses were fused, and that usually happens around 16 to 17 years old. So according to the second pathologist, Dr. Newman, they could not have belonged to Maurice because he was 14 and a half. If you remember in the original episode, we talked about George traveling places looking for the kids. I'm pretty sure we said he went to Florida, but he never went. That's because that's where Jenny's brothers lived and he didn't want to go there in fear that the kids were there. She said that if they saw him in Florida, they would do something to the kids. So they hired a private detective to look into it.
Hi, I'm Shane.
I'm Hannah.
And we're Country Roads Creeps. We're a podcast that covers all manner of creepy, spooky stories, from cryptids and conspiracies to unexplained deaths and disappearances to mysterious and paranormal happenings in the world.
You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, and pretty much anywhere you listen to podcasts. Check out our Facebook page and our Instagram account at Country Roads Creeps for photo dumps and more information we'll post with every episode.
If you enjoy the show, please feel free to share us with your friends and leave us a 5-star review. And if there's any topics that you'd like to hear us cover in the future, feel free to message us on our social media accounts. Is that it?
That's it.
All right. Well, be safe driving home and watch out for the not deer.
Bye.
Bye.
The last thing we talked about was another case from Fayette County, the Mad Butcher, which y'all know how me and Courtney feel about that case. What we didn't know is that they tried to tie in the Sodder children into the case of the Mad Butcher. And I looked at the file she sent me, and I have to say it makes no sense. Like, they were trying to make John Sodder the Mad Butcher. Like, come on. I really want to thank Miranda for taking time to talk to me about this case. I've learned so much more about this case that I never knew before. And I can tell you, she's not stopping anytime soon to find out information on this case, and she may be the one to actually figure out what happened to the Sauter children. We will be taking the rest of August off and returning with a new release date. Instead of Fridays, we will be releasing on Mondays. If you find yourself enjoying Mountain State Mysteries, take a second to follow, download, and rate the show on your favorite podcast platform. It helps others find good West Virginia true crime podcasts. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and YouTube, all at Mountain State Mysteries. Do you have a case you want us to cover? Send us an email at mountainstatemysteries304@gmail.com. For the show notes, check out our website, mountainstatemysteriespodcast.com.